please turn to Psalm 29, and believe it or not, we're going to read the whole thing. It's only 11 verses, so those of you that didn't get your Bible reading in today, you'll get it in now, all right? Psalm 29, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11, and we'll read responsively. You ready? Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voices of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, and the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And let's finish on verse 11. Ready? The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, teach us a truth that will bless us, that will help us. And Lord, one that will change our lives in a special way tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I said this morning I'm going to preach a sermon called Give to the Lord, but I'm not going to refer necessarily to money. And now, I want to teach you a neat truth tonight, and I want you to listen to me. We all get tired. I don't care who you are, you get tired. Seems like the older I get and the more I do, the tireder I get. But I don't sleep any more than normal. I was awake at 3 o'clock this morning and kept on going. I did take about a 20-minute nap this afternoon, praise the Lord. But I stay busy. Brother Barnes and I, after soul winning yesterday, went out and cut down a big tree. And I cut one that was already down, and then he cut down a walnut tree that Brother Stoltz was on the front end of the church property. When it hit the ground, he heard it hit the ground. It was a big one. When you hear Brother Barnes holler loud enough to be heard over 5 acres, timber, you know it's a big one. You say, where were you, preacher? Far enough away that it wasn't coming my direction. And just in case. Now, we all get tired. We get weary. There are days that I get home from, I call it get home from battle. By Friday evening, when I got home from the last 2 days of battling with all this bond mess, my mind was weary. I was tired. And we all get that way. We get weak. You know, coffee can only do so much. I still think we need to come up with somebody to invent a coffee machine that, as you're sleeping, it comes on, it brews the coffee and puts a straw in your mouth, and it just starts, you just start sucking it to before the alarm goes off. Amen, Brother Mike? You know, or it just sticks a needle in your arm and it goes through IV-wise. It doesn't matter, all right? But there's just something, there's only so much coffee can do. Now, we humans tend to have the mindset that what we get is more important than what we give. You know, we base a lot of what we do and everything on what we have and what we get, not by what we give. Tonight really has nothing to do with money or tithing or offerings, but I do believe if we'll do the truth tonight, God will take care of that with our church. I was sharing with the men yesterday. Realize if we pick up 10 or 12 new tithing families, that covers the entire loan payment. And we keep going with what we have. That's all it takes. So we're not talking needing hundreds and hundreds of people, though I plan on reaching that many. But it's a matter of we just all do our part. Now, God gives us three things in scriptures that he asks us to give him. He specifically says three things in Psalm 29 that we are supposed to give him. Now, not give to him, but give him directly. And I want to share those with you tonight. Now, he promises something special at the very end if we do. That's what I really want to get to, but I got to show you the first part first. So, I want to show you what we're supposed to give so we can get to the blessing on the other side. Now, number one, and again, I don't plan on preaching long tonight. My wife is hungry, that's why. But I plan on helping you just a little bit here. Number one, God wants us to give glory to his name. Yes. Glory to his name. Thanks, Greg. She's right behind you. He's got Rice Krispie treats. You might want to put them on the other side. Now, God wants us to give him glory to his name. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Now, can I tell you something? We're supposed to give God glory for his name.
Yes.
And to his name. We need to use God's name in the wonderful way that it was intended to be. Did you know that we're not supposed to use God's name with curse words? I saw a gospel track one time, and I'll spell the word, but on it said, God's last name is not D-A-M-N. Now, I don't agree with necessarily passing them out, but I sure did like what it said. Did you know, isn't it amazing? You never hear them use Allah's name with that word. You never hear him use Buddha's name with that, or Satan's name. It's only cursing God, Jehovah God. We're not supposed to use God's name in cursing or in disgust. I'm not one of those people, if something shocking happens that you think you ought to say, oh, and use God's name. To me, that's just a little bit, you're not giving glory due to his name.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me. We're supposed to give God glory due to his name. Do you realize who God is? He's the creator of everything.
Yes, sir.
He is God. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the only wise God. He is everything. He created everything, including life, and he will get it back. He's the all-powerful creator of the universe, and he's the only true God. Can I tell you something? I'm not afraid to use the name God and the name Jesus. I am so sick and tired of this politically correct society that we've got to take Jesus' name out of everything. Isn't it amazing that we can have prayer rooms and places for the Muslims in the public school, but you can't take your Bible to the public school? What's wrong there? We have every year in the public school system in every state of America, including West Virginia, in the public school system, they have Muslim Month. And they have to read from the Quran. They teach them the ways of the Muslims and everything else. Matter of fact, many of them, the teachers are teaching them and having them repeat and indoctrinating them into the Muslim doctrines. That is in every state of our union, folks. And yet, if you use the name of Jesus, that your kids might get kicked out of school. Let's talk about Jesus. I love that song. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more, not Allah.
Right.
Why are we afraid of the name of Jesus?
Amen.
You know, isn't it amazing? You can say any other name and people don't get upset. But when you start talking about Jesus, watch them get all nervous. My Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Can I tell you something? It's the problem today isn't how loud the wrong people are. It's how quiet the good folks are. Folks with the truth that got their mouth shut are as guilty as the bad people. Everybody doing all right? I've said this a long time. The problem isn't the White House. The problem is the church house. The pulpit started going quiet on that stuff, and that's why we've got the mess we got today.
Yes.
He is worthy of us talking about him. Isn't that what soul winning's all about? Soul winning, going out and telling people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My Monday, I celebrated 37 years preaching, surrendered to preach. The next day on Tuesday was 37 years ago, I preached my first sermon, over 20,000 sermons ago. I know it's not a whole lot better than it was 37 years ago, but and Wednesday night, out of the clear blue sky, I come up to church, and my youth pastor that I surrendered to preach under 37 years ago, who's pastoring in Illinois, showed up to church that night, Brother June. He had no idea. Now, my wife told me later, she said, "Honey, I prayed all week that God would do something special for you on Monday. Didn't happen. Prayed all day Tuesday. God was going to do something special for you for your anniversary. Nothing happened. And then look what happened Wednesday." Now, I thank God for it. And may I say this, I haven't changed. He met me early Thursday morning, and I drove him out to the church property. He's been in Illinois for, good night, probably 25 plus years, closer to probably 27, 28 years he's been out there pastoring. Got a good church going and things, and he's a little different than we are, but he's a good person. He believes in soul winning. He said, "Brother Bush," he said, "church has quit soul winning." I said, "Well, Brother Keith," I said, "we're not quite 5 years old, 4.5 years old." I said, "We've passed out over 105,000 gospel tracts." I said, "We're in a town of 18,000 people in a county of 44,000. He said, "Man," he said, "you're putting us to shame." He said, "My church is 4 or 5 times the size of yours." He said, "We haven't done that in 10 years, and my church is much bigger than yours." He said, "You just convicted me." I said, "I didn't say it to do that." He said, "Too bad you did." He said, "I got to get off my backside." He said, "I got to get my people out on the streets more." He said, "It's no wonder." He said, "Your church is exciting. It's growing." He said, you can tell." He said, "As soon as you get that building, look out. It's going to go crazy." He said, "Just don't quit doing what you're doing." I said, "I don't know anything else. Don't worry." Can I tell you something? We ought not be worried about it. I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee. For him and I. You say, why? Because that's what preachers do. I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, and the first girl that came out to get my money, she said, "Oh, Pastor Bush, how are you?" I said, "I'm doing well." And then Sherry, who runs the place in there, she poked her head out. "Hey, preacher, how are you?" And he said, "They go to your church?" I said, "No, but they know who I am." He said, "Good night." He said, "I was waiting for you to give them tracts." I said, "They already have them. Trust me, they already have them." I said, "They've been invited so many times, it's not even funny." He was pleased at that. But may I say something? Soul winning is lifting up the name of Jesus. I won't tell you who, but I had a couple preacher friends of mine. They're not pastors, they're assistant pastors. They were at a meeting. And it really wasn't a meeting they wanted to be at, but they had to be there for some odd reason. And somebody got up and spoke, and they said, "Well, we're not going to give an invitation tonight because we don't want to have a show." I was like, they don't know the difference between a show and the Holy Ghost. Something's wrong, amen? If they would call that a show, that's the wrong place to be. And can I tell you something? We're supposed to give God glory due his name. Can I tell you something? Let's use God's name right. Amen. Let's not use it in cursing. Let's not use it in slang. Let's not use it in a derogatory way. Let's lift up the name of God. And by the way, talk to him about his name. When's the last time you walked out at sunrise or sunset and said, "God, you're beautiful. Look at that. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 8. When's the last time you looked up and realized how great God really was? Somebody was criticizing my age the other day, Mrs. Barnes, saying that, you know, you're getting towards the latter part of your life. I got my AARP card on Friday after 2 days of battle. Not a good way to end the day. And I said, look, sunset's just as pretty as sunrise. Now, wait a minute. When's the last time you just took time to take time and talk to God about how wonderful He and His name is? By the way, His name is because of what His word is.
Yes.
You are what your word is. Can I tell you something? That's why man messing with God's word has messed up God's name. People who's using the wrong Bible and rewriting the Bible are messing with God's name, and He's not happy. He's not happy. I got to hurry. Number two. I love this. We need to give strength unto the Lord. Look at verse number one again. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. That word strength means your physical and your mental strength. That means work.
Yes.
I believe in hard work. Now, I don't always do the physical labor some of you men do. I understand that. But I promise you one thing, your preachers are going to work. Yes. Now, I do physical labor. Yesterday, Brother Barnes and I were physically laboring, cutting wood. We cut about a cord and a half, 2 cord of wood in a couple hours. Loaded up, took it to my house and unloaded it. And I understand how to work physically. But may I say this, we ought to give our strength. There's a reason it's called the work of the Lord. Too many preachers, it's the play of the Lord, not the work of the Lord. They got to take Monday off to settle their nerves from all day on Sunday. I don't take Monday off. Now, I tried to take part of the day Tuesday off, so I got time to do stuff at home and get the honeydew list down every once in a while. But you'll find out there's a lot of Tuesdays I don't even take off. You say, why? Because there's work to be done. And I'm not afraid of that. It's called the work of the Lord. May I say this? Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Say that again. Sunday's not the Christian Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. It was a day of work. It was a day of ministering. It's a day, I know one pastor that he gets up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, goes online, gets the sermons he's going to preach for the day, and walks into the pulpit. I don't know what he does all week long, but there is no way this preacher's doing that. Just so you know, I work it. I work hard. Some of you wished I'd work even harder. I understand that. We work hard at the business around here. I work hard at knocking on doors and visiting people and calling people and getting new people. And I don't sit around twiddling my thumbs doing nothing, just so you know. I'm out there doing the work, and I believe in hard work. God says we're supposed to give Him our strength. Young people say, well, I'll wait till I get old to do something for God.
No.
Number one, define old. If you say it's under 50, I'm going to slap you. You're supposed to give God your strength, your strongest years. I thank God at the age of 13, when I surrendered to preach, I gave Him my strength. I've given Him my strength for the last 37 years, and I hope to God I die in the saddle. I don't want to have a stroke someday and not be able to do something. I might lose my ability to walk. Just put me in a wheelchair and lower the pulpit, amen? I plan on preaching till I can't preach anymore. I don't want to die in the pulpit, but right after I'm done in the pulpit, all right? I just plan on working. Say, are you going to retire, preacher? Nope, I'm going to retread, not retire. I'm going to just keep on going till I can't go any longer. I just believe in giving it all I've got. I've got one life to live. God called me into it. I might as well give everything I've got to it until the day I die. Can I tell you something? We ought to be at church. We ought to give our energy to be at church. Give your strength to be at church. Give your strength to help other people. Give your strength to serve God out soul winning. Give your strength to help in the bus ministry and in Sunday school and in the nursery. Give your strength to walk in a walk with God. Hey, you might have to get out of bed 15 minutes early to get up and read your Bible. Oh. Now I went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? You might have to get up a little earlier and do some praying. Now, Don't get mad at me. I think it's very fine and appropriate to get on your knees and close your eyes and pray. But if you got knees and back like mine, I can't do that very long. I do a lot of praying sitting. I do a lot of praying walking. I pray when I drive. I pray that I don't meet those crazy people on the road. We were coming to church Wednesday night. I was sitting at the light down here on Edwin Miller Boulevard by Walgreens. Sitting there, two cars ahead of me. On the red light. And as soon as the light turned green, the truck goes boom. The lady behind me saw the light turn green. She just hit the gas and took off right into the back of my truck. Thank God I had my hitch on.
Right.
Yep. I got out. She said, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. Are you?" I looked. Her bumper had a V in the middle of it. I said, "Do you need to call the police?" I said, "Mine's fine. All you did is hit my hitch. You never even touched my truck, just my hitch." She said, "I already wrecked it once. What's one more?" I said, "All right, I can see why it's wrecked. Lord have mercy." Got to laughing. About 2-3 years ago, I was sitting at a traffic light at a stoplight, and some lady plowed in my back end. The only two accidents I've ever been in my life, I've been sitting still at a red light. My wife, we laid down in bed that night, and she starts laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" She said, "You're the only man I know that can only be in two accidents in his life, and you're sitting still at both of them." That's what it was. I was sitting there, got hit twice. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to give our strength to the Lord. You know, we're supposed to give energy. We're supposed to give mental energy, spiritual energy. We're supposed to give our physical energy to serving God. God wants our strength. You know, your walk with God ought not to be 10 minutes before you put your head on the pillow and you don't have enough brain cells functioning then to even think. I think you ought to give God the best time of the day, not the leftovers. Everybody doing all right? There are things that need done. There are sick people that need visited. There's widows that need help. There are people in need that need things. There are people out there dying and going to hell that need us to take the gospel to them, show them how to keep from dying and going to hell. There are people out there who have lost loved ones that need comforted. There are people out there, there's children out there that their families are split. Mom and dad are divorcing, and what a mess. They got alcohol problems in the family and drug problems in the family. Hey, who's going to help those people? The answer isn't that it's a sickness and we need to open up more centers for their chemical addictions. Folks, alcoholism and drug addiction is not a sickness. You don't drink cancer. You don't pump the flu into your veins. Sickness is something you catch because you didn't want it. All right? If Brother Stoltz sneezes all over me and I get a cold from him, I caught a sickness. I didn't open my mouth and let him spit it into my mouth and swallow it. He said, "Preacher, that's gross. What's the difference between that and drinking alcohol or shooting drugs in your veins?"
Right.
It's not sickness, it's sin.
Yes, sir.
It's wrong. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Quit meddling and start preaching. All right, I will. So, number one, God says we're supposed to give glory to his name. Number two, we're supposed to give strength unto the Lord. Number three, we're to give our attention or our hearing to the Lord. I love this. Verses 3 through 10, we're not going to read it, but virtually every verse talks about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I love storms. I love them. The other night it started storming. It was early. I told my wife, I said, "I love it. I said, too bad it's not about another hour, hour and a half later when we laid down. Sure enough, about 10:45 that night, it cranked back up and started cracking again and started raining. And my wife said, God did it for you. I said, I know. Man, I fell right to sleep. I love that. I can enjoy a good thunderstorm and a lightning storm as long as it doesn't hit the house. But I did get up the next morning, and I was already at the office, and Ellen texted me, and there was a house that caught on fire down the end of my street from lightning that night. She said, I trust this wasn't your house. I said, no, it wasn't. But I did walk out to my vehicle, and there were emergency vehicles leaving, and it smells like something was on fire. And got here to work and found out Ellen torched somebody's... that somebody's house caught on fire. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to give our hearing to God's voice. We're supposed to listen to God's voice. May I say that? That means we're supposed to listen to what God says? Everybody look at me for a second. There's a difference in you hearing my voice and you listening to me. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you might hear my words, but are you listening? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I raised two boys, trust me. There's a difference in them hearing your words and them listening to you. I've been teaching for a long time in schools and different things. And yeah, there's students that can hear your voice, but are they really listening to you? There's a big difference. God doesn't want us just to hear his voice. He wants us to listen to him. God wants us to pay attention to him. That means this. When you're at church or in Sunday school, pay attention to the preaching. I think if you're here, you might as well give all your attention to it. And don't get mad at me. I'm going to meddle for a second. I understand being tired, but I don't think I've ever fallen asleep in preaching. If I fell asleep while I'm preaching, you all wouldn't be real happy. Can I say something? I think we ought to give our attention. Good night, Brother Stoltz. I remember what it's like working 40 hours a week, driving an hour to and an hour from work, Bible club leader, bus captain, teaching Sunday school, taking 18, 20 hours of class, and you're sitting in chapel every day at 11 o'clock. That's after three classes, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock class. You got chapel, and you got one more class, and then you got to go to work. And you got about 4 hours sleep every day for about a semester. We had all kinds of tricks. There were guys, they did the pen method. Remember that? They'd sit there and they'd just start jabbing a pen in their leg. Ow. But then they'd fall asleep. And you'd see them like this. And then there was guys, they had the idea, well, that didn't work, so you just hold a pen real light in your hand. And as you start to fall asleep, your hands relax and you drop the pen and it'll wake you up. It didn't work. We had guys that would sit with their briefcase cracked open on their lap and put their hands or their arms on their briefcase, and when they started falling asleep, their hands would push it closed and it would go click, click, and it was supposed to wake them up. I've seen everything. Can I tell you the best thing to do? Just keep your mind focused. If your mind is focused, you're not going to fall asleep. And I'm not angry with anybody. I thank God for those of you that work and work hard, but stay focused on God's voice. Now, my voice is not God. I understand that, but I'm preaching his book. We ought to stay focused on it. The preaching, the teaching of the Word of God. This means you should make listening to God a priority in your daily life. That means this. Are you listening to the Word of God every day in your own life? Are you reading it? Are you not just getting the words in, but you're doing what it says? Everybody doing all right? God doesn't want you just to hear the words. He wants you to do the words. He that be not a hearer only, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, the book of James says. Don't just hear it, do it. When you do it, God knows you're listening to it. That's a good thing. We need to listen to his name in nature. I'm talking about a sunrise or a sunset. I'm talking about the storms. I'm talking about the trees and creation and how he works and the animals and the weather. Can I tell you something? God, I'm not a pantheist. God is in everything. God is that chair. You know, those people are, you know, their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. You know, their cheese fell out of the sandwich. It just isn't quite right. You know, well, you shouldn't hunt because that deer is God. No, God gave it to me to shoot so I could eat the critter, amen? Not for shooting it just to shoot it, but if you're going to shoot it, eat it, amen? God gave us dominion over the earth. I'm going to go elk hunting this fall. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to look for one, and I'm going to bust it, amen? And then I'm going to tie a chain to my son and have him drag it out. Told him I'm packing a chain in my backpack. He said, what for, Dad? I said, so you can drag that thing down the mountain for me. He said, now, wait a minute. can I say something? God gave you, but we ought to see God in everything. The other morning I was driving to work real early, and it was just barely breaking light. About 5:30, Brother Mike, and it's still kind of dark. It's not daylight. Sunrise isn't until about 6:10, 6:15 right now, but light enough to see. And I said, Lord, could I see a couple deer this morning? I hadn't gotten a half a mile from my house and had to stop and let a big old fat doe walk across. And I got down the road and there was a fawn on the side of the hill. I went a little farther and then I saw mama with two fawns standing right smack dab in the middle of the road. And I think my beagle was taller than the one fawn. I mean, it was just a little guy. I mean, his head was about that far off the ground. I said, yeah, I give you a couple years and grow up. I think I counted 13 deer I saw on the way to the office that morning. I got to the office. I said, thanks, God. I needed that. What a great God. Now, wait a minute. If I didn't see one, guess what? He's still a great God. But I enjoyed the scenery along the way. Now, God wasn't in all of those deer. My daughter and I were coming to work this morning, saw in a West Virginia 11 point, you know? A little spike. We saw little fawn and its mama. And she was, oh, isn't it so cute? And I'm thinking, yeah, let it grow up and I'll shoot that thing. Fill the freezer, amen? She said, it's still got spots. I said, all of them still have spots that were born because they don't lose them until they get their winter hair. Then I've seen fawns that big with spots before because they don't lose that hair till it's time for their winter hair to come in. Now, I say that to say this. Take time to realize God's in all that and God gave that to you to enjoy.
Yes.
Smell the roses. Enjoy the beauty of God's nature, but realize God gave it to you to praise Him with and give your attention back to Him. Now, I'm going to say something here. I don't believe in something called Mother Nature. Mother Earth. Al Gore is an idiot.
Yep.
I hate to disappoint you. He's made billions of dollars off of the backs of everybody else believing his lies. You know, nothing in his first three books and his first movie have even come to place. He said back in 1984 that the world was going to end in 10 years if we didn't change everything. That was 23 years ago. We're still here.
Yeah.
Not one thing he printed has come to pass. By the way, did you see he got in trouble this week? His electric bill is 21 times higher than everybody else's average electric bill in America. You know, Mr. Carbon Free kind of dude. You know, Mr. Save the World. I laugh at it. And yet people will suck it down and give him billions and billions of dollars. He has made billions of dollars on this. Not millions, billions. You know, can I tell you something? We're to manage the earth and be good stewards of it. God gave it to us to manage. The global warming hoax and the green people are wrong. God's in control. It's not Mother Nature, it's God. It's predictable. Lest you think how smart man is, look at a 7-day weather forecast and find out how wrong they are for today. Number 4, and I'm done. So, God wants us to give glory to His name. God wants us to give strength unto Him. God wants us to give our attention to His voice. But look what happens when we do that. Look at verse number 11. I love this. I, the Lord, will give strength unto this people. I, the Lord, will give strength unto this people. Did you know something? When you give God glory, when you give God strength, when you give God your attention and your the hearing that he deserves, God says, I will in turn give you strength. I met Brother Fred before he got saved. You talk about a tough old critter. One rough old cob. And Brother Fred still shakes his head at me every once in a while. And I hear this out of his mouth. Preacher, how do you do it all? When do you find time? God gives me strength. The Lord is my strength. My shield, my buckler in whom I trust. He is my strength. There are days I get tired. Now, my kids call me the Energizer Bunny. You know, they don't know how hard it is sometimes. But can I tell you something? God is my strength. Don't get mad at me for using this man's name, but I knew Dr. Jack Hiles in his last years. I worked for him. He was 74 years old, pastoring the world's largest church, running 23,000 people every Sunday morning. Filled that auditorium, 7,000-seat auditorium, had two grade schools, two junior highs, two high schools, a college, the world's largest church, and traveled. At that time, he was traveling 26, 28 weeks a year, preaching around the country, and had been preaching every week for about 45 years around the country while he did all that. At 74 years old, you didn't want to mess with him. Amen, Brother Stoltz?
Sure.
He was one of the strongest human beings you've ever met. I'm not talking just physical strength. How many 74, 75-year-old men can keep up a schedule like that? And I mean, you might not understand this, but you're talking a $23 million budget every year overseeing. 565 employees. Most people, if they have two employees, they're about ready to pull what little hair they have left out. 565 employees. Second largest employer in Northwest Indiana. Second only to the biggest hospital just down the street. Keeping all the bills paid. Got everything debt free. You say, what happened? He was giving God glory to his name. He gave his strength to God, and he gave his hearing to God, and God gave him his strength to keep on going, to keep it all going. Well, I just get so tired. The first thing I need to do is quit going to church. No, you go to church. God will give you the strength you need.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, when you start missing is when you're going to start getting weaker.
That's right.
Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to but beef up numbers. I'm trying to give you strength. My wife will tell you, there's days I crawl into this pulpit. I mean crawl. A year ago, December, I preached the whole month of December with walking pneumonia. Y'all remember? I was talking like this to give the announcements. Half the time, Brother Stoltz was giving some of the announcements because I couldn't talk. Get up, we'd read the scripture, and I'd start preaching. The voice came back. Got done, voice was gone. I'd get home, fevered, pile up the blankets and shiver. Finally went to the doctor and found out I had walking pneumonia for a month. Now, wait a minute. You say, how'd you do it? Just keep on going. I kept doing what I was supposed to do, gave God what he was supposed to give. He gave me the strength needed to get through what we needed to get through. I'm not asking you to come with walking pneumonia. Trust me. I'm one of those weird people that can do that. But may I say this? I think it's high time we... Why is it that the first thing we want to give up on is God?
Right.
You go to the doctor. Oh, I just got so much stress. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. And then you start telling them all the things you do. The first thing they want you to do is cut church. That's the worst thing to cut out. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I went to the doctor to make sure my heart and everything was in shape for hunting at 7,000 feet. Amen, Brother June? I can't do nothing about being old, but I could the fat and the out of shape part. So I've been working on the fat part, got it down. The out of shape part's taking a little longer, but we're getting there. She had me do an EKG. She said, Craig, have you ever had an EKG? I said, I know what they are. I've seen thousands of them, but I've never, ever had one in 50 years. She said, well, you're going to get one. I said, all right. They came in and stuck all those little doojiggers all over me. I'm cutting up with the lady. She said, now the hard part. You got to shut up and not talk, not move for 30 seconds. I said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I did. I obeyed. I was a good patient. She had listened to my heart. She took my blood pressure. She did all kinds of stuff. I mean, she was checking the oil. She checked the transmission fluid. I mean, it was she was checking the points and the plugs and the condenser. I mean, everything. She came back into the room and she said,
I've never seen anything like this.
Now, when a doctor says that, that's enough to make you worry. And I just looked at her. I said, what do you mean, Christy? She said, I haven't seen an EKG like that since my textbook in college. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I said, I know enough about textbooks. They show you good and bad. She said, I have never seen one that was as textbook perfect as yours. She said, I've never seen a living person that have one that was exactly the way it's supposed to be, but yours is. She said, your blood pressure is virtually perfect. She said, don't you, pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you must have the greatest church in the world and have no stress. I said, I've got the greatest people in the world, but I can't tell you I don't have stress. I'm getting ready to build a $550,000 building. We just bought property, and I'm in the middle of a building program. She said, no way. She said, if your wife hadn't told me that, I wouldn't believe it. She said, because none of your vital signs reveal that. She said, you handle stress awful well. I said, I don't have stress. I give stress. We joked about it. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but don't change it. She said, don't mess with anything. She said, and then we started talking about strength training because she was worried. She said, well, my dad and my brother went out west hunting. I told them to put weights in, luggage, and walk with it. And I said, I ain't doing that. She said, why? I said, I'm putting weights in my backpack. I said, I'm putting 40, 50, 60 pounds in my backpack and walking with that. I said, I mowed the grass with 20-pound weight vest on. I said, what's the matter? She said, I need to change what I tell people. That's a better idea. I said, well, you don't carry the elk out with your arms. You put it on your backpack and carry it out on your back. I said, I got to get everything strong up there. I said, I could have Popeye arms, but I'd die coming down the mountain. She said, I got to fix what I tell everybody. She said, you got a better plan than I've got. You've done better research than me. Can I tell you something? God gives strength needed. God will give you the emotional strength you need. When the difficult days come, God will give you the emotional strength. I was talking to Brother June, and they've been going through the death of his dad and some hard days. And two people this week, other than Brother June, I've talked with about clearing a loved one's things out that has passed away and how difficult it is. And the emotional strain that goes with that. Can I tell you something? You give God the things he wants, he'll give you the emotional strength you need. Doesn't mean the pain goes away, but he'll give you the strength to get through it. Can I tell you something? God gives you the strength to love your enemies. God gives you the strength to love those people that hate your internal organs. God gives you the strength to love people that are a bit obstinate and hard to get along with. That's your spouse. God gives you the, not mine, yours, but God gives you the strength necessary. Man, I got to get out of that hole fast. If you give God the glory, you give God the strength, you give God a hearing, God will give you the strength for all those things. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, and I will give you strength. I'll give you rest. God will give you what you need when you give him what's due him. Let's give glory to God. Let's give glory to his name. Maybe we won't live life quite so wearily. Maybe we won't be so emotionally unstable. Maybe we won't be so spiritually unstable. If we give God what he wants, then he can give us the strength we need. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I always do this, but who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed. God touched my heart. There's something in that sermon that I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands everywhere.